Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Scott, and I'm pleased to welcome Jen, who's here to talk with us about the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project and the recent happenings with the Girls Program. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Scott. This is fun.
I had to
really stay present, not to when it said I was unmuted to start the good news, to start the good news update, to wait. That was fun.
Right, because you just want to jump right in. So go ahead, jump right in. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, really fun. I was really looking at it today, knowing we were going to get to talk about it, and seeing that it's such a hands-on experience of so many practice principles we talk about. But essentially, anyone who joined us for the Zoom calls that we had during the Bridgewalk season this last year, they were live video calls that we had with the team in Cantalamo, which were really, really inspiring. And we're working on seeing if we can making those available to folks. But for anyone who was with us on those calls, you heard a lot about the girls taking in the girls program. We have a sort of pilot number of girls, 35 girls, who are in this intensive program to assist them to stay in school, to, really giving them the holistic support that's needed for girls at that age, starting around sixth grade, 6, 7, 8, 9 through 12. And starting in grade 6 and 7, girls in that environment are really, really vulnerable to becoming pregnant, being married off by their families, not often the value of education is not seen for girls and that sort of thing. So we've been working on this program and just loving it and having all kinds of breakthroughs over the number of years that we've been working on it. And so for folks who are with us on those Zoom calls, you heard that a number of those girls were taking some critical exams this last year. We had 4 grade 12 girls, the first grade 12 girls in the program. These are girls who have been with us for years since they were itty-bitty, and now they're graduating from grade 12. We feel like old, proud parents. Those exam scores, I will say, are not in yet. That's still a big question mark. But also the system of education in Zambia has 2 other major exam years. In grade 7, you have to pass the exams to get to grade 8. In grade 9, you have to pass the exams to get to grade 10. And if you don't, you repeat the grade. So I could tell a lot more detail about it, but the main thing was there are two girls, Memory and Joyce, and they are kind of shining stars amongst these girls. They love to read. They love to study. They're both very, very bright, and they've done quite well in school so far. And so
they actually shine. Those big smiles, yeah. And the big eyes, and like you said, just really eager to learn and to participate and really committed to that.
Yeah, that's a great description. So we actually had hoped that these two girls might score so well on their exams that they might be eligible for placement in one of Ndola's really quite high-quality schools, which would have had them commuting to one of those schools, which we were prepared to help make happen. But that didn't happen. And so one of the girls, actually, there are sort of 2 levels you can pass. Pass just to make it into grade 8, or pass to secondary grade 8, which is you get to go to a higher level school. One of them made it to the higher level school, and one of them did not. And that in itself was heartbreaking because, I mean, we all know from our own experience, and so many studies tell us now that a huge part of kids, well, and grown-ups, success too, is who you hang out with, you know, who you're spending your time with, and what company you're keeping. And so it was just heartbreaking to consider breaking these girls up into 2 different schools.
Mm-hmm.
So what the gift of that, you know, it was one of those places where it was just, oh, gosh, that's not what we expected. But that was sort of the first place where I watched practice really kick in. There was no assuming. There was no kind of urgency and, oh, my gosh, you know, what went wrong? And there was really a sense of, well, let's start asking questions. Let's start looking at this. And again, many details and meetings and long stories short, one of the main things we discovered, which makes complete sense, is that, why did these girls do so well earlier in the year and they really didn't do so well in these exams? And one of the huge answers to that was they hadn't been exposed to a ton of the material because the school that they're in is, it's not a great school, and they're in classrooms with 70 other children, and their teachers are often not there. And, I mean, the list goes on with the challenges that they're up against. So as we started to look, go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jen.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Go ahead.
As we started to look at that, we just started to ask all kinds of questions. And what that led us to was Teresa realized that there was a school in her neighborhood. She lives about 30 minutes or so, well, probably about an hour's walk, I would say, from Cantalumba. And near where she lives, there's a school that's kind of private, kind of public, kind of what we would probably call a charter school, something like that. And so it occurred to her to start to talk to those folks and see if we might be able to get some of our, well, these two girls in particular, enrolled in the school. And as we began to talk about it, it was just one of those places of, that's interesting that that option never occurred to us before. And, you know, that place.
Yeah, right. I mean, I love what you're saying at the beginning, you know, how many practice principles are kind of embodied in this. And you just mentioned, like, when practice really kicked in. And that's what's so, what practice models for us. So, you know, there's just all this effort and work by everybody, including the girls, especially the girls, but everyone around them. Everyone's cheering and rooting. And we saw them on the videos, and everyone's behind them, and they go in for their exams, and it's like, you know, heartbreaking. And I think what we're meant to do, you know, with the voices is just to kind of, make it a problem and give up and shut down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as you said, the training kicks in and it's like, well, what's going on here? And there's that turn, isn't it? There's that turn to possibility, to what life has in store for us next. You just start asking questions. And like you said, there are questions that hadn't even occurred before. You know, there's an acknowledgement about what they're really up against. They didn't even have all the information to take the test, you know.
Yeah.
And then so there's this step-by-step process that's going on with the question and asking, and it leads to this other possibility for them.
Exactly. It's that spirit of inquiry.
Spirit of inquiry. There's the principle of practice, spirit of inquiry.
So these two girls are enrolled in this other school where they're going to get a completely different, hopefully, experience of education. It's the same curriculum. All schools follow a government curriculum. But they're going to be in classrooms with like 20 children instead of 70. And these folks who teach at the school were talking to Teresa. And they were so excited about Living Compassion's vision. And they have a great passion for, as they call it, the girl child. Because, you know, again, there's just more and more information coming out. Everyone's getting it that if you want to lift up an entire community, educate girls. There's so much evidence of that being a really, really big key.
Yeah, across countries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the thing that's been just, I mean, all of that is just so fantastic and so exciting. And these girls get to be together and they're, you know, going to get so much opportunity. But with that, it just, as you said, it opened up this whole other thing that we just hadn't thought of. And so what ended up happening is that we have about 15 girls who are now enrolled in that same school.
Wow.
And not only that, Well, so we, about 10 of them, 10 girls went from that Living Compassion sponsor to go. And then another, like, 5 to 7 girls, other parents started to look and to say, huh, I'm interested in that. Now, why? I wonder if my child could do that. And what happened in a number of cases is that parents were able to, the phrase they would use is top up. So Living Compassion was sponsoring a certain level of education, school funds for their daughter, and they, quote, topped up the funds to make the difference to be able to put their girls in this school. And what's so huge about that that right there demonstrates a really significant shift in awareness around, well, because I said it right at the beginning, that this idea that, you know, to educate your daughter, you definitely would educate your son before your daughter. And education in general is a bit of a hard sell, and you can see why, because there aren't a lot of models of finishing school and becoming, you know, successful and going on to, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, we got to finish up, and we'll have plenty of other time to talk about this. But I think the really, really exciting thing is it's beginning to demonstrate a paradigm shift that for a long time we've really been planting the seeds for and fostering. And I think Teresa and the team and these pioneer girls are really, they're really demonstrating that something else is possible, and people are taking note.
Yes. Yes, it demonstrating that something else is possible and people are taking note. And, of course, once that's offered to people, I mean, and they see the possibility and they see themselves in that possibility, again, it's hard not to draw the parallel between us as practitioners and practice, right? There's another way to be in the world. And then so those seeds are being planted, and we get our sights set on, you know, these girls, and, okay, they're going to pass that test and get into that higher school level. And we had no idea that there was a much bigger plan going on in place.
Exactly. Because if they had passed and gone to that school, we would have just said, okay, great. And that school, by the way, they still would have been in classes of 70 kids. Mm. So, exactly so. I'm right with you, Scott. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Now they have.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, now, as you were saying, there's like 15 girls that are going to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
The community is paying attention. I mean, I could just imagine them just projecting an energy. And as we said before, I think for folks who haven't seen it, there's a great article in the Monastery newsletter in February, you know, speaking about what you're speaking about today. And just that place of, I guess you've just said it, just that place of possibility and energy and what Living Compassion has been doing for years, which is promoting and encouraging and supporting girls to learn and to speak English, and then have the community and support to do that. You know, that's what drew those girls there. That's what's drawn this girls program. And it's kind of like, wow. I mean, it almost feels like there is no limit to what's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I also just see the parallels completely with Sangha. Basically, you know, I think about when someone got on the radio show after the Pennsylvania retreat last fall and said, well, I'm taking on the 90-day challenge to record and list, do a 200 recording every day twice a day for 90 days. And how many of us did that? And then another person gets on the radio show and says, you know, I'm checking in every hour. And how many of us are doing that now? Right? Because it's that place of like, wow, I didn't think of that. If they can do that, why not me? Right? Oh, so exciting.
Exactly. They can do that, why not me? And to have the support, encouragement, and practice, and for these girls to have one another. Yeah. And then, of course, as we talked on that fundraising campaign, if they have one another, they have that community, and then you can just see the people behind them. You know, here's Living Compassion. Yeah. You know, here's the coordinator of the program. Here's all the people who have donated money. I mean, it's just so fun to be a part of, isn't it? It's so exciting.
So we'll really
look forward. It really is, yeah. And so we'll look forward to hearing more. And, you know, if we get a chance to get on a Zoom call or if we get an article, we'll just be real excited to hear how it's all going forward.
So fun. Well, thanks, Scott.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing better after that.
Yes. Yeah, I love that conversation. Seems like they were just getting warmed up there.
I know. Sometimes I'm so tempted to just text in, oh, let them keep talking. That,
yes.
There's so much more to say about this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a good point about then we can watch for it, and when information comes out, you know, we follow along, and it's just going to get more and more and more exciting.
Yeah, and it's very inspiring to me, and I can only imagine from the girls' perspective and from the team's perspective to have that unconditional support coming from Living Compassion. You know, we all hoped you would and expected you would pass the exam, and you didn't. Okay, where are we now? We're still here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Well, and that point that was made that, you know, this is from a place where education? No.
Right.
You know, there's no interest in it. There's no reason for it. There are no jobs. There's no future. There's no sense. And what a change this is.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as with everything, you know, it takes a little while. It takes a while to get all the pieces in place and everybody to get up to speed. But in another 5 years, probably, I hope, I guess, I bet, you know, passing your exams and going on for more education is just so common that nobody thinks about it.
Yes, exactly. And I think about what you say about getting current with where we are mm-hmm. in our lives, and the old small person, that conditioning tells me, you know, always tells me the same story. But if I look at my life, I have to say, well, actually, it's not really true anymore.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have announcements here if you want to jump into that.
All right. Yeah, please.
Okay. Take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in North Carolina. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Yes, sounds like it. Yeah. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins April 15th.
That's always such an auspicious date, right? April 15th. Start something new. Learn to reflect. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, taxes. All right.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. This retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk. Mm-hmm. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini. A practice weekend is coming up May 25th through 27th.
This is where I do the weather report, right?
Yes.
Gonna be gorgeous.
Gonna be gorgeous. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make Gas Show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation that focuses on one topic and is about 5 minutes in length, is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. One sec, I just lost my caller here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bonnie calling, and I am quite new to this, and I was wondering if, Sherry, if you could speak more about ego in different classes that I've done. It keeps sounding like ego is this like malevolent creature that lives inside my head, which I kind of get, but that doesn't feel so good.
Because Bonnie, you have noticed that there is one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but actually, ego, the way we talk about ego, the easiest definition for it is the illusion of being separate from life. The illusion of being a separate self. That's what ego is. And as with, you can imagine that something that is separate and has its existence in appearing to be separate from everything else is going to have some qualities like defensiveness and self and things like that. So it can range from just, you know, mildly egocentric, center of the universe kind of stuff to really really mean and nasty in its attempt to remain other than.
Yeah, I have the latter one. In a comment you made during a program, an email program, you said I was stapled to ego. And that sounded close. But I have trouble with the idea like ego wants this, ego's trying to make this happen, that it takes on this like malevolent little character that I just struggle with it some.
Yeah. Yes, and of course you know me well enough by now to know that I'm going to say, actually, ego struggles with that. So just to consider that, okay? So do you have any issues in your life, like issues with food or issues with exercise or meditation or any of those kinds of issues?
I've been diagnosed with PTSD, which I think you don't, I know when someone wrote in about depression, you said that let's frame it differently, but yes, I have, a single mom and I haven't made a home for myself and my son since he was born. So I'm not good with commitment and I feel like I approach commitment. Commitment, but also I've had this with other things where it feels like I'm trying to figure something out, and the harder I try, it's like two north poles approaching each other. I veer off, and it's like I can't get to the thing, so I freeze when I'm trying to find a home for us, and
I
just...
All right, so if we were to take that whole story into practice language, the way we talk about it, that... What stops you, and I always talk about it as a voice in the head because that's how most people experience it. So you're actually talked out of action. And that is the ego that I'm talking about. Now, is it malevolent? I don't know. If somebody has a weight problem and there's a voice in their head constantly talking them into eating sugar. Is that malevolent? I don't know. I certainly would not think of it as supportive or kind or on that person's side. And it does have the characteristic of being tenacious. So it's not like, no, it varies. It doesn't depart from its perspective. So those are some of the qualities that I see people struggling with ego. So is it malevolent? So if there's one sandwich and you and I are both starving, and I knock you down and grab the sandwich and run, am I malevolent? I don't know. We could say that one of us is going to survive, and it's going to be me, because I'm the one who knocked you down and got the sandwich. Was that too much of a leap?
No, and it's okay. Been tremendously helpful to have that thought when I start going down a self-beating up mode to think, is this a loving voice? And
that's
then
right.
When it's not, I've actually been able to stop and shift my focus and attention.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. And that voice that wants you to feel bad, wants to beat you up, if you notice, is also the one that confuses you, that keeps you from being able to, you know, decide on a place, a way to live. You're going in a direction. It's talking you out of that direction, then beating you up for that direction. You know, wants you to figure something out, is after you to figure something out, keeps you from figuring anything out, and then beats you up for not being able to figure it out. So that's the system. And so, you know, people can think about that in any way that's helpful to them. The one I always discourage is when somebody says, well, but don't we need to bring compassion to self-hate too? And I always encourage, you know, after you've brought compassion to everything else in the universe, then it would be a good time to bring it to self-hate. Before that, I'd be leery of it.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. All right.
Bye-bye.
Stay in touch, huh?
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Bonnie, I don't know how to turn it off.
Thanks for joining us, Bonnie. It's great, Sherry, to get a fresh perspective on these issues. And, you know, just look at it all anew, as if I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
Very helpful to me.
Yeah, absolutely. When we're here, we always see something new. Because here is always new.
Yes, every moment.
Every moment.
Yeah. And in this moment, we have a new caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Debbie, once from Cambridge, now from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, hello,
hey, Debbie.
Oh, it's great to be on the show, and it's great to hear you in this way. And just to share, I'm Zen coaching, signed up for reflective listening, doing a year-long retreat, and planning to come to the monastery for another There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat in the summer.
Excellent.
So,
I'm
really appreciating all the practice. Thanks for remembering that, too. She's five.
Five.
She's five.
Wow. Yeah, she's fragile.
You had a pivotal role in her being here, because I had a question, and you said, you know, make a decision one way or the other, go to sleep, and don't look back the other way. And I made a decision after that conversation, and Lillian is the result. So
here she is.
Yeah. So thanks for everything, really. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, all of you. You know, I really... a lot of gratitude.
Well, you are most
and I'm
welcome.
Calling for something. Sorry?
You're most welcome, always.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great. I'm calling for something really specific. I've been struggling with some conditioning, which I attached to, you know, at first two specific personalities in my orbit, and around them I had I experienced very, very low self-esteem and basically, you know, behaved in ways that almost taught them to not treat me well. And then I just started a new position, a stretch job, but a job that was designed for me, and one that I'm, you know, it's a dream job in many ways. And in the second meeting, I literally choked and had no words when describing sort of my part of the program, and thought I, for a week, I thought I lost the job, that I would come to the meeting today and find I'd lost the job. And I didn't lose the job, but 2 days prior, I had that same experience with one of those personalities I mentioned earlier, where I tried to speak and what came out was gobbledygook and just a high level of anxiety and extremely low self-esteem. And then, you know, what came to me today was like, you know, if I just try to avoid, like, it's not about those personalities. This is everywhere. You know, this is voices that I've now internalized. I'm owning that this is my conditioning. And if I let it boss me around, I'm going to lose the job I love. You know, basically, I would lose everything if I continue to listen to this. And it feels like life and death to just learn not to listen to those voices and redirect my attention. And at least I have this superordinate goal that I feel passionate about that's going to support me in overcoming these voices that are destroying my life if I let them.
Yeah, because what I heard you say in that is that turning point that you're describing. So, you know, this happens with a couple of people. Well, you know, they're difficult people. They're, you know, whatever, the reason that I'm having this experience. And then there's another situation, something that's really important to you, and here the same process shows up. So, so at that point we go, okay, wait a minute, is this here now to take away everything important to me? Anytime I care about something, these voices are going to, that is
my first marriage. Absolutely. Like, yes. You know, and I thought, okay, so now I just married a wonderful man instead of that man. But you know what? Like, it's not, I'm going to just keep, it's going to come with me until I am so blasé about those voices and so, you know, uninterested in them that they, you know, they are inconsequential and don't affect me.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I'm imagining, but it's not easy.
It's not easy. And in fact, you know, what most people do under these circumstances is just have their life get smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay, well, don't be around those people. Don't be in that situation. Don't take that job. You know, just do less and less and less until nothing is challenging.
And take medication.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. Right. Yeah. So even if they're there, you don't feel it. Yeah.
Right. But I know I feel that so deeply.
Debbie, at the job, can you say something to these folks?
Well, I wrote something. You know, I went on a walk with some friends, and one of them is in a position where, you know, she hires and fires, and she said, you know, it would be good to say it. What I did was I wrote a clarifying email. I said, I don't think I was clear, and then wrote down what I wanted to share. And I simply, you know, not thought it through yet and then panicked and just had no words. But I wrote out what I might have said today, and there wasn't an opportunity to say it. You know, it wasn't the right time or place.
But
you're
giving yourself permission for a redo, right? If it gets framed as one shot, you know, you have one shot, then the voices have a great deal more going for them, right? Because everything is riding on this one occasion, and if you blow it, so I can feel the anxiety rising right there in just those two sentences, right? So
right.
To give yourself permission to say, to be able to go back and say, you know, this is really important to me, and I realize that, you know, that level of importance, I got to an anxious place, and I wasn't as articulate as I would like to be, you know, just so that somebody knows that you know what's going on, and that you're working.
Right. Right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when to do it because, like, now there was a new member of the group, and I don't know how to create the opportunity. Maybe I don't have to. I was prepared to do that today.
Yeah.
And I.
Yes. Well, and you can keep it in your back pocket. You know,
yes.
in a kind of a casual, oh gosh, it happens. You know, when I care a lot about something and I get to this place and I get tongue-tied, or whatever feels right.
Whatever it was, that I needed to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And to deliver it in kind of a casual, because as you know, you're not the only one, right? Everybody's got something, and especially everybody who's trying to do something big, you know, that to them. That's big. Anxiety comes with it. Fear comes with it. That's why most people don't talk in front of groups. So just to have that it's sort of something you can even practice of getting comfortable enough with just being able to say, wow, you know, that's the price I pay for having my whole heart and soul in this. However that would be for you. And as you're comfortable with it and kind of casual about it, other people will be too.
Yeah. I mean, it could potentially come out next week when we're preparing to present to the department, you know, about this new program, you know, in a couple days later. So as we're, you know, I'm sure they're imagining, I would if I were them, I would imagine being a little hesitant with putting me in a presentation situation. Given what they've seen, right?
Yeah. As you get more comfortable, as everything is more familiar, you know, that sort of thing, you know, their perception of you will change.
Yeah, as long as I have that chance, you know, I'm glad I still have the job.
Yeah. Now, the other two folks, I don't know about that. That sounds... but I'll bet you that as you're doing, now that you've brought this into so much conscious awareness, as you're working on it, even those relationships will change.
Even which relationship? Oh, the other two. Yes, because you cut out for a minute.
The other two.
Well, now I realize that they are, you know, I've done a lot of recording and listening around those characters, but those personalities and myself with them. But, you know, it's so interesting when I just examine the history that comes along with this. But that's right. It's all a practice opportunity. And now I know that I can't just let those relationships slide. I can't continue.
Yeah.
I can't in this way.
Yes, exactly.
I simply, life will not let me. I don't believe I have that option. My family would like me to take medication. I don't think I'm there yet. I think I really want to use these practices to try to support myself, to just discern, you know, to listen to to what's going on and sort of prune the voices that I listen to and just discern what to listen to and when to breathe and move my body and get quiet instead.
Yes, absolutely. Did you say somebody wants you to take medication?
My family. I told them what happened in the work situation. And, you know, it's interesting. Like, my family, there are a number of people with psychiatric conditions that are, you know, that need serious medication. In my immediate family. not that I'm living with now, but that are in my immediate family. And the population I'm working with is that same population. And so, it feels like a dream come true in the sense that I don't know how much is possible without medication, but I'm part of the team providing an alternate route. And I'm wondering for myself, you know, like I've never taken medication. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm using you as a major model.
Poster child. Exactly. And Debbie, all it takes is what you're bringing to it. That's it. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But that desire to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to every moment, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Trick in that is that so often people have conditions that depending on what happened to them early on and beliefs that get built up and that, they don't believe they can or they don't have the desire. And that's why, but that doesn't mean it's not possible to get through pretty much anything if we really want to. And you do.
I do, and I really want to build, like, this work project is so personally valuable and I want the health for myself first, of course, and I want to provide a route for others that, you know, at least whether or not it's with medication, without medication, at least, you know, there are these other options to improve quality of life.
Yes, absolutely. Well, if I can assist in any way, you know how to find
me. You do. You are right now, and I so needed to talk to you, and I'm so very. My Zen coach said, "Call into Sherry," and I haven't been. You know, this time is no longer convenient, so I'm not usually on the radio show. But I'm so grateful I got on, and I'm so glad I got to speak to you tonight.
All right. Well, then, let's stay in touch.
Oh yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
good.
Michael. Thank you,
Take
Sherry.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. Now, there's an inspiring story, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
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 Wonderful.
Well, when the Buddha talked about having suffered enough, that's what we get to. You know, I can see that. I'm going to pay a bigger price for this than I want to pay, and I'm going to save this human being. I'm going to do what it takes to turn this around, and we become unstoppable at that point.
Yes, when that level of commitment is committed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our Zen coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Hey.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm really happy to get through. Feeling a lot of gratitude for the year-long retreat, particularly.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Fun so far, huh?
Yeah, I feel really excited about it. I can really see how it's going to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it.
Yep, and you
and
will.
I did Project Joy Retreat last year, and I listened to the radio show every time, and I recorded the assignments, and so I did it. But I didn't. But I was aware that I got to see the undulations in my practice really clearly because it was like all year, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't always record and listen about the assignments. There were just things that I got to see.
Yeah.
So this year, I've made a clear commitment, like I really want to do the assignments every day and I want to record about them, and so far so good.
Because what conditioning would want to frame what happened to you in the last one as, well, see, you didn't really, and for a lot of people it's, well, you know, there's no sense in doing this one because, you know, you didn't really do that last one. But you did, and what you got to see, the undulations, right? You got to see how you get talked out of doing it and what life is like when you're sticking to your commitment and how you get talked out of it and what life is like when you're talked out of it. You got to see all of that.
Yeah.
Act with
a
deeper desire.
Yeah, like I don't get taught, like I sit every day. There's certain practice commitments I rarely get talked out of.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to see how even through all of that, there's still like real undulations in how present I am in my life and mm-hmm. how the amount of my time and energy and attention that's going to practice and the time that's going to conditioned mind. And yeah, I saw a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? Because we're no longer vulnerable to what those hateful voices are saying, because we know that everything we're doing is teaching us something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking that these are concrete, write down stuff or draw things, and my workbook hasn't arrived yet, but I'm just doing it in another book, and I already, like just doing the drawing, it's like opening, it's just been so interesting to heard other callers talk about it. There's all the resistance to doing it, and then when I actually start doing the exercise, it's like, oh, this is a happy place. This is a happy place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's why there's so much resistance. It's not really that I don't, ego doesn't want me to do it, because it's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so that mm-hmm. was actually lovely to see that. And so I know that by just doing them every day, like that awareness will just get stronger and stronger, and I won't get fooled by the resistance nearly so easily.
Yes. Boy, and if we all get that out of this year, wouldn't that be just beyond magnificent? Not to be fooled by resistance. If everybody doing this came out of it with, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, as a red flag, oh, ego, yes, okay, heart wants to do this, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, because so there's certain, like, I record and listen every morning, first thing. Not much resistance to doing that, but mm-hmm. picking up the recorder later in the day, massive resistance to doing that.
Yeah.
So it's so I get these sort of I'm allowed to sit, I'm allowed to do this, but then after that, it's like screaming.
Nope.
The recorder, yep. I don't want to pick up the recorder.
Uh-huh.
So,
anyway. And we learn to just smile and go, picking up the recorder.
I realize I have to get something to carry it around with me in, just so it's there. Because, you know, the smallest thing can be used as a reason not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having to walk.
It's all the way in my bag. I'll have to find it in my bag.
I'll have to
plug in earbuds
to pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And Barbara, even that is just astounding to see, isn't it? Because there was a time when all of that was happening just below the level of conscious awareness, and it ran our lives.
Yeah.
Hold on, it's clear in the other room. No, I'll do it later. And that was believable. That's how our choices were made. And now we see it and we know what it is.
Yes. Yes.
It's huge.
Yeah. So
it really is. I think we lose sight of how big these things are. How I often fantasize about, well, I don't often fantasize about it, but periodically, I wish I could just drop for a minute, 5 minutes, into my life 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Just drop in there and look around. Feel what it felt like to be me then, looking at my life. I think it would just be breathtaking to see the difference that practice has made in my life. But if I were to refer to anything in my head, say, about it, well, you know, I haven't changed that much.
Yes. Well, if I refer to anything in my head, it usually tells me that I've got worse. So, you know.
You've gone downhill fast.
But it's definitely not the feedback I get from my friends. So,
uh-huh.
And
they have a better picture?
They have a better picture. They have a better picture. I'm seeing more and more clearly how conditioned mind is just never going to give me a good report about anything.
Never. Never.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
That's why we might as well just quit looking.
Yeah, and particularly about practice. Never going to give me a good report about that.
Never, never.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful, Sherry. And just before I go, I just needed to mention, I just listened to the show from a few weeks back when I wasn't able to listen live. I listened to the archive, and you told a story from your early life when you were a child that you said just dropped in from nowhere, you hadn't thought about it for years, about a child being put in a garbage bin. And
oh,
that was me. That happened to me.
Wow.
And I just couldn't believe it. When I heard you tell the story, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'll go back and listen to it again because I know that's it. There's a lot of that experience become a whole lot of stories. I know it was incredibly, had an enormous effect on my beliefs and my life and my need to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And never make a mistake. Massive. So I just, you know, that thing where people ring up and people say stuff on calls and you never know, you know, how it's going to affect somebody in the sangha.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It was really powerful for me to hear that.
Uh-huh. Gosh. You know, we just, adults and children, you know, we have, and I guess it can be adults and adults, but especially adults and children, I mean, we just have no idea the power that we have
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although you'd think somebody kind of know.
Well, you think so.
Like that might have on somebody.
Yeah, you think so. Although, of course, in our defense, when we behave that way as adults, the thing we can know is we're not actually adults when we're behaving that way.
Yeah.
So it is really probably child to child, but it doesn't feel that way when you're the little one.
Yeah.
The little part of the equation.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you can have some good talks with her, huh?
Yeah, I will.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, and thank you, Michael.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to talk again.
All right. Good to hear from you. Take care.
I will. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And I noticed a lot of compassion come up during that conversation, Sharon.
Gosh,
and it reminds me of that quote about be kind to everyone you meet, because everyone is fighting a hard battle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes looking at that with what Barbara was just saying, that we don't even always know the depth and breadth and difficulty of the battles that we're fighting. Right? We can get so accustomed to, or things become, I don't know if normalized is a good word, but it just becomes so much a part of who we are that we don't step back and recognize it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes,
which, again,
exactly.
Is a huge source of compassion when we do.
Yes, yes, internally and with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling from Seattle.
Hey,
hi,
how are you?
Hi, good, pretty good. A rush of adrenaline going through my body and cortisol right now.
Yeah. there they go.
Well, yeah, I'm, let's see. Well, I'm just glad to connect and to participate. And let's see, I was actually sleeping before or taking a nap, and then I almost, I'm glad I woke up against the resistance when my alarm went to tune into the radio show.
Aha.
So I'm glad for that.
So you set an alarm, set an alarm, which is big right there, isn't it? To be allowed to make mm-hmm. that choice, to choose that for yourself, and then when it goes off, to actually get up, get the oh no, just turn it off, go back to sleep, to actually get up and take advantage of an opportunity to participate with everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at the year long retreat, I can only be live. Live listening and being in the queue on Tuesdays and Fridays, because the other days I have to go. I work, of course, but Tuesdays and Fridays I'm live, and then I listen to the recordings. Afterwards, yeah.
So on Tuesdays and Fridays, do you just go in later, or?
No, I don't work on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, and you work the rest of the days. Okay.
Yeah. I only work 3 days a week, 9 hours a day. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just working out that way
mm-hmm.
lately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good because I have the chronic fatigue and other physical issues. So this works out really well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can take care of yourself and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are you still in school?
But it's not like an every day or every week kind of thing. It's like four times a year. There's a prolonged weekend, and then there's some work in between, but I don't have to go to a school weekly or every day. So, yeah, that works out really well, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm really lucky. I get a scholarship for year two, so I only have to pay half the tuition. I'm really happy. I'm really lucky. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, there are some things going your way.
Yeah. Yeah, many things. And I started doing kirtan, singing.
Uh-huh.
Kirtan, it's like a call and response.
Uh-huh.
Singing, and it's really awesome. I mean, it's really, yeah, I really love it. It's awakening more joy and restricted breathing, you know.
Uh-huh.
Can be lifted, and to awaken to my voice.
To what?
To awaken my voice, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Awaken my voice and my breathing and just to joy, yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. To be more present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I'm still so, and I know there are no others in our practice, I mean, or how we say, but I feel like I just, I get so affected by, for example, if there are, like, problems in the family that I work with, or just emotional things going on, you know, in the children, and between the parents and children. And it's stressful, and I go in to work, as a nanny, I get really, you know, I don't feel like I'm strong in myself to not get as affected by it. So I very quickly start feeling the emotions that that might be going on in the family dynamics, you know? But not just from one person, but from everybody. So that I'm the one who gets overwhelmed.
Right, they're all fine and you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so this, here's something that could be potentially could sound very strange, but if you're open to it. So one of the things that I don't even know where it comes from, but it's an Eastern philosophy kind of deal, is that a way not to take in energy is to close your left hand into a fist. Okay?
Okay.
That closes off the avenue, because we receive energy through the left side of the body. And so if you hand into a fist, now that might not work in your line of work.
That's really simple, but if I can just believe it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can just close your hand when you're not required to be doing anything else. Now, the other thing that occurred to me is if you were comfortable doing it, you could say, you know, you're doing something with your hand, whatever it is, and wear a glove. You know, just a simple cotton glove on your left hand, so that it would remind you to not let energy in, and just see how that works.
Oh yeah, that's thanks for the suggestion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll try that.
Yeah.
I'll do
that. And so it's twofold. Not only are you not open to receiving the energy, but each time you're aware of that, you can kind of do a little internal aura fluffing to just let go of any of the energy, right? You just bring attention to kind of a of your energy system and kind of shake things out a little bit and let it go. And just doing that each time it occurs to you,
I think will have a big effect.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Let me know, huh? Let me know.
Yes, I will. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Good.
Take care.
All right. Good
Thank
night.
You. Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Sherry, I realized when you were talking about the left hand that I have to be conscious in order to remember to do that,
yes.
Which is another benefit of it.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so whatever reminds us to come back to that, the whole process is a letting go, is a not being vulnerable to unconscious habits.
Yes, yes, exactly. Sherry, we're about 4 minutes to the hour. I don't know if you want to have a short conversation.
Oh, let's try it.
Okay, here we go. The next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Pasha. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hey,
hi,
Pasha, how are you?
Hi, I'm very good now, and and I just observed this announcement that you might now ask a question, and I'm sitting in the headphones, and I felt the energy comes in the headphones and travels in front of my body towards the belly, and I just sense that I just sense that motion of energy inside of me, and I never observed it so closely before. So that was very interesting to see. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
it feels very real, doesn't it?
The energy.
Yeah. Yes. And what I mean by that is, so we can talk about energy, and it sounds very kind of ephemeral, or is that the word that I want? Anyway, not quite so real, but in the way that you describe, it's palpable. I mean, there's no doubt about the reality of it.
Yes. Well, I have a higher breath rate, I have a higher heart rate, I can see it affects my body, and if I wouldn't be, it manifests as real, but also there is someone who is kind of receiving that energy and kind of going with it and believing further. And that's what is happening right now with my practice, as kind of in the last few months, I see this, first of all, in the last few months, I'm kind of falling away from practice.
Huh.
And yeah.
How
so,
come you're doing that?
I don't want to do that. but there is conditioning get me into that corner of, it started seemingly a few months ago as comes the voice and ask me a question, something like, do I know myself? And to answer that question, I look around and I don't see anything besides that voice, where I go and start to find that answer to that question. And and somehow I know myself kind of closer and better when I'm with conditioned mind.
Uh-huh. And so you know ego better.
Yes. Uh-huh. And in that place where I'm going to, it seems like there is nothing in that place that is to know or is capable of knowing besides ego. So I'm with ego. I'm between the ego and ego. One is I, another is wants to know the I.
Uh-huh.
And there is nothing left.
It's a complete relationship. Me, and my.
I know myself. And then I had a few recordings to make, which helped me to see that there is a process of there is some kind of belief that I need to have an answer to that question, or I need to engage and sort these things out. And now I'm suspecting there is no.
So you know, Pasha, I don't mean this to sound as terrible as it might sound, but it's kind of like ego in that configuration. It's like a dog chasing its tail.
Yes.
You know, it's very devoted to catching that tail.
Yep.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, I see I am in the game of chasing the tail, and there is no choice of tail or no tail. There is a choice of how long I'm going to be in that game, and do I need to be in that game? But there is no tail for me anyway, and that's I think the one who had that dear belief probably can accept that there is no single solid answer to the I question besides the ego tries to portray.
And it's okay to be with that
discomfort.
Yeah. Oh, right. Exactly. Yes. And of course, that's sort of the where we're going with Zen awareness practice, right? Because we look for the I, for that constant I. We look and we can't find it. And then we assume, well, I'm just not looking hard enough, or I'm just looking in the wrong place, or there must be. And now I'm in relationship. Now I am in relationship with the I that's looking for the I, which
yep.
feels like kind of a full-time job, but
yep.
I'm still not, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also noticed the one, I am sensing it right now, that this is a chasing a tail thing, but 3 months ago, there was, I forget that.
Yes.
So I'm making this mini recordings, kind of a suffering place recordings. You know, this is how I suffer, and this, Pasha, I want you to remember. I go to this place. This place doesn't provide any answers. It has a solid sense of I and a load of suffering. Mm-hmm. So the I is here, but it's not... it comes with a whole load of baggage.
Yeah. It's trying to get a long, cool drink of water out of a mirage.
Yes.
It's just never going to happen.
Thank you. The paradox.
Well,
it's never. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Be continued. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pasha. Thank you,
Michael.
Bye. You're welcome.
Oh, I hope we can continue it. I know we ran out of time, but wow, that was a big conversation.
Yeah. Very big. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry. It was a great show. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Take care.
We'll talk next week.
Soon. Okay. All right. Thanks again. Good night.